Good morning. It is good to see everybody here this morning. And we want to welcome all our visitors. This morning I want to talk about a lesson I've entitled Life-Altering Truths. You know, a lot has been going on in this country over the last several months. Lots of rioting, lots of groups fighting against one another. And you know, after the tragic death in Charlottesville, Virginia, back in August, where white supremacist demonstrators clashed with counter demonstrators, many of our fellow citizens in our country have tried to look for a solution to the racial divisiveness that sadly exists in our culture. And I believe a number of people are surprised that although we live in the 21st century, have personal computers, can put a man on the moon, yet this is one area that we seem to be regressing into. At one time we thought we had made, at least it seemed like, some progress. But in the aftermath of the Charlottesville incidents, Scott Allen wrote these words in World Magazine. He said, "There's a reason for the increasing division, hostility, and violence that we are seeing in America. As a nation, we are abandoning biblical truth in favor of toxic ideologies that, if left unchecked, will destroy us from within." Many people have said the very same thing in different ways. That the problem is a heart problem. But you know, tragically, this isn't really a new problem. It didn't just start back in the 60s when Martin Luther King and others marched for equal rights. Racism and division among classes and various ethnic groups have always been part of our world. In Genesis 46, verse 34, we are told, "For every shepherd is loathsome to Egyptians." In John 4, verse 9, Jesus, encountering the Samaritan woman, she asked, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" Because Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. In John 8, verse 48, the Jews answered him and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" And Luke 18, verse 9, "And viewed others with contempt." And so, even as far back as Genesis 46, we see that the problem of people hating other people for various reasons, be it color, be it religion, be it whatever adjective you want to use, has existed for a long, long time. And what I want to talk about this morning is the fact that the Bible has the answer. The Bible places far more emphasis on what unites us as human beings than what divides us. And it focuses on what all people have in common, regardless of their race, regardless of their sex, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their stage of development, or relative wealth or poverty. The truth of the matter is, all souls matter. And we see Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. God says all lives matter. Just in 1 verse 27 and 28, we're told God created all people in His image and in His likeness. And therefore, all people have inalienable dignity and incalculable worth. Everyone has God-given rights to life and liberty. Mr. Allen says. Another thing we all have in common is we all have sinned, regardless of our race, regardless of our political leanings, or skin color. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1 verse 16. And Jesus died for the sins of the entire world. John 3 16. For God so loved the world, not just the whites, not just the blacks, not just the Asians, the Europeans. The fact of the matter is, all of us are related. We all came from the same common ancestor. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. Acts 17, verse 26. It's interesting that back in the day, the Jews always pointed to who? Whenever they wanted to make an argument as being the chosen people, who would they say? Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. Well, we all came from Adam. I want you to think about this. We all have the same needs and concerns. Every culture struggles with worry, with anger, with lust. All races battle against the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. 1 John 2, verse 16. No matter what our race is, we are all tempted by the same common or basic temptations. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Another fact is that God desires that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God desires that all come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. And therefore, everyone can change if they so desire. And so we need to remember that God created all of us, that God loves all of us, and that all of us will answer to God. We also need to realize that the devil's after all of us. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We have a common foe. And folks, hell will be populated with people from all races. The Great Commission, or the Great Mission for the church, is to make disciples of all nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. In order to end up saved and right with God, I must do the exact same thing as anyone else, regardless of their race, their politics, their gender, or their social status. At this point, you should be at Romans 2, verse 6, Kurt. It's hard to keep up with me when I put them up. Because what I did is I just put all these scriptures up here. And I don't know why, but is it easy for you to read? Or is it hard for you to read? Because the screen that I'm looking at is a whole lot smaller than it was before. So we may need to tweak that a little bit. But all of us, the good will be responsible for their behavior as well as the evil. And it's interesting, folks, that we need to understand God delights in a certain kind of diversity. But what he doesn't delight in is sinful behavior. Think about it. He did not create just one kind of tree. He didn't just create one kind of flower or one kind of dog. He did not merely create a male, but a male and a female. The different skin colors and races among men is something beautiful, like the different varieties of flowers or trees. I can always remember my mom. She tried to teach us to love everybody as God does. And her way was a little bit maybe flawed. But she would always tell us that she says, the only difference between you and black people is your skin is turned inside out. And that was just her way of saying that we're all human. We all have hopes. We all have fears. We all love our families. We all have things that we would like to do in life. And when it all comes down to it, we're all really pretty much the same. We may speak a different language. We may have a different skin color. But when it really comes down to it, we're all pretty much alike. And we should always, always remember first that what we have in common is what unifies us. All of us are of God's workmanship and bearers of His image. All of us are precious in God's sight. All the little children know that. They sing it. What's the song? Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Doesn't make any difference skin color. God loves all the children. He gave His only begotten Son, that so whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, this knowledge should shape and must shape our attitude toward every single person. It's powerful, it's beautiful, and it's life-affirming. And it also fosters peace, harmony, and social flourishing. When we remember that every single one of us were created in God's image. The next point I would like to look at is the fact that God cares for us and will judge us as individuals. Indeed, God created us as unique individuals, and He cares about each person individually. So much so that He even numbers the hairs on our head. He also holds us accountable as individuals for the decisions that we make and the actions that we take. And when we face the final judgment, the book opened will be the book of our lives. There will be no excusing our sinful behavior because we are part of an oppressed group. Nor will we be judged for the sins of our fathers or our grandfathers. No, we will stand alone before the judgment throne, and all that will matter is what we did or didn't do. In Acts 10, verses 34 and 35, Luke writes, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." God's not going to look at your skin color. God's not even going to look at whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever other political group there's out there, libertarian or whatever. God's going to look at whether you obeyed him. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, Paul wrote these words. He says, "So that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." When the judgment day comes, we're not going to be judged by what mom or dad did. We're not going to be judged by what our children did. We're going to be judged by what we did. So we need to be honest about our heritage and culture. Folks, every culture has various strengths and weaknesses. And not everything about my culture or ethnic heritage is good. Every culture or every race, unfortunately, has a dark side to it. And you and I need to be careful that we don't become so proud of any culture, particularly our culture, ethnic group, or race, that we blind ourselves to our own sins. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, Peter writes, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold, from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers." We will be judged based on what we did, not what our forefathers did. The next point I want to make is we need to find the good in others. Jesus says, "Love your neighbor." And the Bible commands us to love our neighbor, how? As ourselves. Matthew 22, verse 39. And it makes it equally clear that our neighbors include neighbors in other races and cultures. Luke 10, verses 29 through 37. And added to this, we're expected, now this one hurts, we're expected to love our enemies. Or love those who are making it very difficult to love them. In Luke 6, verse 35, Jesus said, "But love your enemies and do them good, and lend, expecting nothing in return." In Luke 6, verse 31, "Treat others the same way you want to be treated." That's a paraphrase, but it pretty much says exactly what he meant. The verse is making the point that we need to be the first to move, the first to reach out, and treat others with kindness, rather than waiting for them to make the first move. We need to be the ones showing love and kindness. Next point I would make is that gratitude, not resentfulness, leads to life and flourishing. Seeing yourself as a victim is a dangerous mentality to adapt. Or to adopt, I should say. For the reality is that no one on this earth has an easy life. No one. Everyone, from time to time, is the victim of injustice. And over the course of history, there have been many oppressed groups, often including God's own faithful people. Hebrews 11, verse 35 through 39. So buying into and thinking that other people are taking jobs that are rightly belong to you, or others are being given an unfair advantage, only leads to bitterness, resentment, and its own form of prejudice. The reality is that all of us have sinned, and the real victim of injustice in this world is God. And the last point I want us to make this morning is, represent your people well. Now, what I mean by that, when you see someone from a particular group, culture or race, behaving badly, it's so easy to stereotype the entire group. Titus 1 verses 12 and 13 is an example. And unfortunately, in this particular example, the Holy Spirit actually notes that the stereotype was sadly true. Okay? And especially as a Christian, you and I need to make sure that we set the best example possible so that we don't give people of God a bad reputation. Everything we do, you know, I can always remember growing up that my parents said, don't do anything to bring disgrace on the family. But you know what? What's worse? Bringing disgrace on God's family. People know you claim to be a Christian. And so if you're living a life that isn't representative of what a Christian should be, what are you saying to them? And more so, what are you saying to God? How are you portraying God? And for all cultures, this is crucial. Yet for Christians, much more is at stake, folks. For if people don't listen to the message that we bring because we've only reinforced a bad stereotype, people are going to end up lost forever. And so we need to make sure that we are representing God's family well. That we take God's word and God's instructions, not with a grain of salt, but seriously. That we are to love all men. God doesn't want any to perish. And folks, that includes Muslims. That includes Buddhists, Hindus, Hare Krishna. I guess they're still around. I don't know. That includes Mormons. Go down the list. If you can think of a group, God wants them to be saved. And so because a person happens to be affiliated with a certain group, don't rule them out. They need the gospel as much as the next person does. And so I encourage us to understand the life-altering truths that the Bible teaches us. We're all the same. In God's sight, if we have sinned, we have separated ourselves from Him. But He's made it possible through the precious blood of His Son Jesus to be brought back into a relationship with Him. To be viewed as white as snow. And for those of us who have obeyed the gospel, we need to be making sure that we're living the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. And living according to the example that He set. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ Jesus. Sure, we can study Paul and Paul's life and see the good things that Paul did. But whatever Paul did, he did because he imitated Christ. So who do we need to know the best? Jesus Christ. And when our lives are a mere image of his life, and I know we're not ever going to be perfect like he was, but when we do our best to be like him, then we are portraying the best image possible for God. And so this morning, if you're not living that way, we want to encourage you to make your life right with God. Kurt's going to lead us an invitation song. If we can help in any way this morning, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Pierce my ear.